and everyone, welcome to our Mother's Day for His Services Committee meeting. Hope you've all had a good July and are now refreshed and ready to start again. I'd like to welcome Joe Parks back again this morning. I'd also like to say a huge thank you to Johnny McGregor for all he has done in neighborhood service on Joe's absence. At present, this will be Johnny's last meeting with us in this committee, so we wish you well and thank you, Johnny. Well, now we'll work our way through the agenda. Okay, thank you. So, first item is any apologies?
So, there seems to be a mistake in the look at the notes of the back. Because I said I was going in college at the weekend. There's an apology for me, but I'm going to see him here in person.
Okay, so Henry. Mr. Hodges.
Okay. Any others from the floor? Okay. Thank you. Any declarations of a conflict of interest there in item 2?
Just review.
I'll copy them up. Thank you. Okay, we'll then move on to item 3, and that's the action 3. This is held on item 2 and 19 for soon. Copies of the pack. This is the field order, page to page. If there's any comments or anything you want to pick up. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, and page 6. Anyone have any comments?
I don't seem to love this boardroom and this laptop, but anyway, just comment the relation to nominations to the welcome of the light of the day that. Miss Africa for current regarding for the nominees as a result for and I'd like to take them also in addition to Kirk's spokes because the camp will be on the other working group. So that's what the nominees was that you always put these to these
four words. Thank you, Sophie.
Yeah, so yourself and Kirk's Corn on the neighbourhood services working group and then and Ty, Karen. David Services is Guy and Karen, and then.
Second for that? Yes. Mr. Carter. Thank you. We'll move on to item 4 there. Consider the following motion. Member of Transfer Mark Gibbons. Pilots came promoting personal use of reusable water bottles and facilities water refill stations. Okay, copy of that. Last row, thank you.
I can take this chair. The notice of motion which was referred to this committee from full council in July, it's detailed there in front of you. Oxford have looked at this motion and it is a similar in nature to a previous motion back in 2018. So officers of the view that we could get the same working group who was leading on single use plastics to pick up this motion and come back to a sustainability change working group with an action plan and then the relevant committee thereafter. So that's also plan to take it forward.
I already proposed it and just I have a resolution just to send out the resolution soon.
Thanks very much, Chair. I just want to make the motion for those saying that. I would like to welcome the motion because over the past 3 years awareness has been made in relation to pollution, especially with plastic bottles and stuff. I attended a recent event up in Rattlestown before the elections and in Loughlin, I know that the fight needs to say it's a big change in Castle, that's a collection question for what for plastic, and it is a scourge, and I do welcome efforts. Albeit maybe small ones, but at least it's a step a long way towards towards securing a better future. But I speak in support of the aims and aspirations of the motion.
Sharon, I'll be with that bill.
Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, I'll move on. All right, move on to item 5 then. I'll start the left. Copy of press and roll.
Thank you, Chair. Members of the previous committee know that we have committed to take part in this programme, which is an EU funded programme. The report sets out where we are with this. We've had only two meetings. It sets out the objectives and suppose the key elements behind what the programme is about. The next steps. So we're recommending that we continue to what you've already agreed as set out in the section 3 recommendations. But I'm happy to take any questions, Chair, from any of the other members.
Okay, then we move on to item 6, scheme of delegation report from the 5th of October.
Thank you, Chair. Directors, through the Council's scheme of delegation, can't take decisions to report back to the auditor through to the committee. So again, those decisions are detailed within the following pages of the report. So as for those who welcome our proposal and seconder, I'm happy to take any questions from elected members, Chair.
Okay, so any questions or from our proposal and seconder, I have to thank you, seconder. Thank you. Okay, move on then to item 7, that's the Department of Law at Seminary River. We've seen pictures of the archive, and it's just a verbal update from this, from your own statement here, thank you. And the Gibbons. Oh, sorry.
Thanks, Chair. We have received the technical report from the structure engineer, and it's confirmed that there's a section of the wall, 15 metre section of the wall, which is moving outwards, and it's due to the pressure of the retained bank behind it. It's moved out somewhere between about 10 to 15 centimetres at the bottom of the wall and 30 centimetres towards the top of the wall. There's also been some erosion at the base of the wall itself. Downstream from that 15 metre section, there's also some evidence of movement there. But there is, at that particular location, there is stone armoury in front of the wall, which gives it a level of protection. So there isn't the same concern in relation to that section of the river as there is to the 15 metre section, which the main focus has been on. And the structure engineer within his report, his main recommendation is that we do undertake works to that 15 metre section of the wall. And what he's recommending is that we place stone armoury to the riverside of that section of the wall to give it that protection that prevents further degradation. And then behind that then we would dig out that area and we would be able to physically move the wall back into its original position. And then the stone armoury would prevent the further deterioration of the wall going forward. He is recommending that downstream section, which is already protected with armouring, that we would monitor it over a period of time just to see what level of movement, if any, there is within that, and then we would clearly act on any findings that arise from that. I have also consulted with Rivers Agency, and any works that we were proposed to do at that location will require what they refer to as a Schedule 6 licence, which would give us consent to undertake works within the watercourse. There is a 3-month period. Once you submit your full details and your license, it's 3 months before you can actually undertake the works. That 3-month period would be used by us to ensure that we have all the plan in place. We are currently working with the structural engineer to agree the final costs if we move forward with their services, which would include the final design, assisting with us in terms of appointing a contractor to a tender to carry out the works, and thirdly then to sign off on the works once they're completed. And we're hoping to have those costs before the end of the week, and we'll make a view on that once we get those costs. Sure.
Thank you very much,
Jim,
for that.
Karen,
I'll be the wall itself, so we can see it personally, so appreciate that.
Those stone boulders attached, will they have a detrimental impact on the river for the long term?
Sure, the purpose, I suppose, of the Schedule 6 application is that those matters would be considered. So in making that application to Rivers Agency, we would need to give them the full details of what we propose to do, and they will consult with a range of bodies, including the Fisheries Authority, as to whether what we're proposing to do would have a negative impact, and if it would, what measures that we could take to reduce that. So that's the purpose of that, is to ensure that whatever we do is not going to have a major detrimental effect on something else.
Right.
Hey, Chair. I just want to ask, would the council be the sole funder of this, or would River Agency or anyone else contribute to it? And what fee do we think the council would be in? Are we talking 50,000 here? Are we talking hundreds of thousands?
It's our understanding that we are the sole people, our sole organisation involved here. We are the owners of the property, and therefore it's ours to address. In terms of costs, the current estimates we're working on is somewhere below £20,000, but until we would get the final design and put it out to the market, we can't be certain that.
Yeah.
Well,
but
then
after
what
happens, we'll okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Carol. Official, anyway, the official opening of Law County Cemetery.
Thanks, Chair. As I said, the purpose of the report is to recommend that the recently completed phase two of Loch Inn Cemetery is open for burial. But prior to the opening, we have an official opening ceremony to be held to mark its opening. The development of the phase two commenced in around about May 2018. And this new extension will provide us with 237 additional new burial plots. It is proposed that the official opening ceremony will take place on site. The chairperson of the council will be invited. Rowan councillors will be invited to attend, and also local clergy. It's not proposed that this will be a blessing or a dedication ceremony, because it is a municipal cemetery. It's open to all denominations. And each interment in the cemetery will be performed by the respective clergy who will be involved in the burial. The other aspect in terms of planning, commission visit, there are certain conditions that we need to meet, and due to the existing ground conditions, there's some issues in terms of water within the ground in that site. We're proposing in this case that the burials that we will allow per plot will be two burials, and we're also recommending that that there will only be two burials per plot in the new extension to the cemetery. Sure.
Thank you very much for that,
Tara.
First of all, I'm sure thank you very much, and the reason the paper do welcome it. I know it's problematic right across six counties and whatever burial space, and in fact I know Belfast are under pressure to the provision of extra burial, but I do welcome this extension, and I do recognise the concerns and an issue that the Mayfair Palace in relation to the application to get this moved, but again, as I say, it's welcomed, and I propose the recommendations that do proceed with the official opening ceremony in Ballina, it's just
Yes, thank you, Chair. Members, the purpose of the item is to seek your approval to internal sweep of policies which will govern access and usage of the Council's social recycling centres. Members, we always spent quite a bit of time with yourselves in this mandate and in the previous one, really testing a lot of these policy resources with you, and really a combination of that. So what we're trying to do is really, one, secure standardisation across all 10 of those sites, and also to reduce the amount of non-recyclable residual waste which is currently restated and processed through them. I suppose, Chair, the most important thing to point out is that due to significant policy differences between Legacy Newry and Legacy Down, there are significant variations in performance in terms of the amount of residual waste restated and processed. And what we're really trying to do is address the fact that in Legacy Down, the amount of non-recyclable waste taken and processed during those sites is nearly twice what it is in Legacy Newry. That presents a budget challenge, given the cost of tax to actually processing residual waste is significantly greater than recyclable waste. But also maybe worth noting that what we're trying to do is roll out the former model from Newry and Moore in July, whereby they were able to secure a reduction of 7,500 tonnes of that type of waste going through those recycling centres. So, Chair, policies cover general access and usage. They cover construction and DIY materials. They can cover commercial waste, including the proposed introduction of a permit system, which really controls access and usage of commercial type vehicles, both domestic and non-domestic customers, and also promotes the whole agenda of reuse. But PEND is quite a lot of material in terms of the report, so you'll see how the proposed permit system will apply. You'll see a summary of each of the proposed policies, and I don't propose to do those tonight, but I can, of course, comment on questions. What we're also recommending, Chair, is that the 1st of October, the effective implementation date for these policies, except for the commercial permit system, where we're recommending the implementation date of the 1st of November. Now, what I would say, in the run-up to that, we will publish a communications plan to advise users and to make them familiar with the change in the policy environment. But what we'll also do as well is implement a period of grace of up to 31 calendar days, again, to allow users of those sites to be familiar with the changes in the policy environment. Chair, there were a number of issues raised by the committee at its meeting in June when we were last discussing this. And the first one was a request to re-examine the 25 kilos limit for the receipt of rubble waste. I've gone back to my colleagues in relation to that, and just to confirm, rubble waste is classified as industrial waste, and based on the license, we cannot accept volumes over the 25 kilo maximum that we are proposing. But what I would say as well, that any potential variation to that is going to increase your cost, which I've alluded to, and also undermine your recycling agenda. The other issue, Chair, then, is also around re-examining the proposed limit for the number of household doors, which we did have at 4, and I think those suggestions increased that to 8. We have now accepted that feedback from the members and built that into the proposed policy, so you should see that. Another area that is worth noting, and I suppose, Chair, we're also seeking your decision in respect to this, is we, as of next week, will be opening the new Glenpatrick Household Recycling Centre. And Council of PC agreed that we could apply the principles of these policies to the new operating arrangements. It's opening on the 28th of August, and in terms of the official opening, so the public relations launch, what we're recommending is we will organise that for late September, early October, and only after it has been opened to the public from next week. So it's more of a sequencing thing, but I hope I would get the agreement of members in relation to that. So, Chair, in terms of the recommendations, we're asking members to consider increasing the new policies as set out at Appendix 2, which govern access to and usage of the Council's 10 household recycling centres, with an effective implementation date of the 1st of October this year, the 1st of November this year for the commercial permit system, and then approval to schedule the official opening of the new Glenpatrick site on a date in late September, early October this year after it's been opened to the public. Chair, how would you take comments or questions? But thank you.
I really appreciate that, Colin. I mean, it is a substantial paper there and a lot of work to do it by myself, and I do appreciate that. But however, members will have to make a decision, so we need to know your thoughts on the tariff.
Thanks very much, Chair, in relation to the package, the publication of the paper. I know it will be a complex issue in relation to I'd like to raise the publicity aspect that we need to get the message out as soon as possible over the next 12 weeks, whatever, what you can do and what you can't. In relation to other councils, sorry, that you touched base with the other 10 to see exactly how they operate their collection centres and everything. And I know I contacted you recently about oil tanks, you know, the oil tanks seem better days and bring it back to the recycling centre. I know we can't do that, but I don't think there's other crisis probably need to do, but we don't, but it's just one of the uniformity, which means that the standard might not be, you know, or it's more than top lines across the things, but again, as far as the limits, something that we might have welcomed, and I propose that we'll go ahead with the recommendations, specifically for the transfer of the head. Thank you very much.
Chairman, I'm just going to the bags, non-recycled and recycled. Is that you guys? You recycle? Okay. So I'll be his bags here. I'm just getting the hand here. Where's that chair? Sorry, in the
greatest
of purple tubes. Maybe, yeah. That's your bags there.
Thanks very much. Just on the rubber aspect, any roads that these recycling centres and all are on are right across the district are very vulnerable for people coming in and living the areas inside and delivering them outside along our roadsides and stuff. So, I think it deserves, because it's bad enough as it is, for people not accommodated to open time, if you have to open 24/7.
Throwing across the ditch and the leg and the drain and the chain locks and then the paint. But
I'd like to see more being done about that. I think that if we're all talking about a green yard has an environment, why would water have an environment? I want to make sure that that old paint was in a safe place, that wasn't up there. Especially the tin rock that there. Three types of samples there, two of our own, that doesn't take it. I'd like to see that in the back.
Appreciate that, guys, coming off of questions there. Any others?
Thank you, members. A couple of points there. In terms of research and other councils, yes, sure, we've done that. Most of you have attended in your papers. RAP Best Practice Guides, which looks at practice across all the areas of local authorities elsewhere. And essentially, we have modelled the policy proposals based on their experiences. In terms of local benchmarks, yes, we participate in a subgroup of TAG, the Technical Advisors Group, which is essentially waste management officers. And what I would say is a lot of the councils that are looking towards what we are doing here, given the advances that we made, particularly in legacy urea more in relation to this. With regards to the, I think there was the risk that was suggested around illicit dumping and flag tipping, we recognise that, Chair, and what we're doing is obviously you'll have the period of grades, you'll have the publicity, you'll have new signs at the household recycling centres, so we're investing a lot of time, effort and resource into this, who's educating, for want of a better word, our users of those sites of the new policy environment, but we can, of course, monitor and review whether these new policies result in any increases in incidences of flag tipping and so forth. There are a couple of comments there around some of the restrictions of the bill, particularly for construction DIY materials. What I would say as a general comment is that we recognise that household users may at times have carried out house cleaners and DIY works, and we feel by looking at best practice and taking feedback from yourselves, we built in an accommodation there to allow users to carry out a certain amount, but I suppose you have to set a limit somewhere. What we are trying to do with this policy is restrict the potential of misuse by commercial waste, because that's treated very differently than the purpose of the household recycling centres for domestic users in our district. And then the last comment, Chair, about different sites. They all have different license requirements. So we, through this, are complying with the existing license requirements for those 10 household recycling centres. And I suppose the final comment I would make, Chair, is what we are trying to do is really roll out the best practice that existed previously in legacy Newry and Mourne out to the entire district. And that is through exercising the greater controls that, to be honest, aren't currently there in the legacy down area. And really have a much better controlled environment to allow us to reduce our costs and to improve recycling, but at the same time, having a common sense approach to the problem.
Thank you, Tommy. Hopefully that answers some of your questions, or is it nice to have
to you sit down the room and paint it or that and tell us pretend on using Hamilton, which is a huge area, two sites, it's a vast area that Lee or so has a space to be lifted and maintained. It's what we're talking about is a serious danger to the particular area. So,
do you appreciate that, Tara? And it is something here we'll definitely will look at and we'll try and help sort of if we can.
Yeah, certainly. Maybe as a comment. Sorry, I didn't address that point about the pain. What we could do, if members are having their BGS tonight, we'll look at that and we'll bring that back as part of phase two, because we are looking at, as part of phase two, the whole servicing arrangements and obviously that's tied in with contracts and how we deal, for example, with pain. So I'm happy to do that and take that away and come back with a separate report as part of that, if that's agreeable, Chair.
Yeah, well, I think
that's
good.
That's
right, yeah. Harold, just on the pain, I remember doing the doors, not very worried about the thing, so someone asked me that, and we probably did. And they did think then 2 feet, it was quite distant, but fair enough, they've done that. But do we not have a system of bulky goods that we can let the phone ring council and say, with a mattress or whatever, and there's a pickup at the doorstep? Is that not something that you can look at a bit more? Well, you know, for this house clearance type thing, could we not organise a scheme?
Yeah, just to confirm, Chair, we do provide a bulky household collection service, and yes, we could look at augmenting that. What the one thing we cut it at was in terms of the mattresses. Members may be aware that in the last mandate we got approval to initiate a pilot, which is looking at essentially taking the mattresses into a number of our sites, and we have appointed a partner, Ucil, Ulster Support Employment, to actually take them to their reprocessing facility. So they've been very successful. To give you an idea of how successful that's been, in the month of May, there were 500 mattresses taken from three of our sites with this pilot of play. So what we'd like to do, Chair, is bring a report back to committee and following subjects in the business case, I'd not recommend that we extend that out, because I do recognise that that is an issue that maybe presents itself to users of the site.
I'm a proposer entirely.
Yeah, just a little bit of just a wee light bulb on the head again. I know in previous games when the council was talking about going to the charity shop, not charities, the likes of your mental health, actually mental health, and you've like the Mal Takes partnership with Patrick and people with disabilities and mental health do a lot of work with furniture, and I'm just wondering if that's been factored in the likes of, I think there was to be a policy in place that the relations of furniture that like these items could take them and restore them and as part of their functions. Thanks.
Sorry, that's already on the policy, so that's already good. Did you second that, Ty, or? No, I didn't. Okay, yeah, appreciate that. Now that the big one got through. Move on then to item 10, that's the refuse collection, the business case. Johnny, again, appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Chair. Again, the purpose of this item is to seek your approval to essentially allow call a strategic business case for the fleet that's used to support the refuse collection service as a current stand. Why? Because, Chair, this provides a rationale for the size of it currently in support of obviously that key public services. What I would say to you, Chair, is when you factor in all of our routes and all of our vehicles, we require spare capacity. If you consider that there is vehicle downtime, which is considered unplanned due to breakdowns, but also where you have, in accordance with your statutory requirements around the fleet license, that you can maintain and service your vehicles and have regular safety inspections. So as it currently stands, we are spending a significant sum of the repairs money on rental, essentially to give us that capacity. What we have identified is that if we comply with our fleet renewal policy, which is every 7 years plus one, if we can get our entire fleet up to comply with that, there will be a net savings in terms of what costs to maintain the vehicles in the later year versus rental. So I suppose, Chair, I'm just seeking the committee's approval to the business case. What I would say as well, in addition to those potential savings, is that this actually giving you a gateway at this point in time to be able to remember the review of the routes, but also in terms of future business cases around the procurement of specific vehicles. So again, as an enabler, the future of the business cases, which again may involve the delivery of efficiency savings attached to that. So Chair, again, happy to take any comments or questions and seek member approval for that. Thank you.
Appreciate that, Tommy. Thank you. Before we take proposal and second thought, we'll have Dermot.
Yeah.
And any other questions?
I think that this is a very important documentation in front of us. Sorry tonight here, and I must compliment Sonny on the presentation to you together, because this is the most important feature, the most important service that we can give to our ratepayers, and we need to maintain it and keep it up to standard. The only person, the only, and more or less, the only information is, I'm going to do support with Sonny once, but the only information is the cost of your voucher. We have the spare capacity to £125,000 to bring in rental vehicles. That's a fair amount of money to people that have rental vehicles. But maybe we have seven substitute vehicles here. Are they not up to the standard that we need to replace the broken down and maybe vehicles depend on it? And many vehicles then are you talking about in relation to substitute vehicles here? Because that's a fair amount of money to spend on substitute vehicles. And surely
do we not keep, as you said earlier on, in your presentation, we do have the maintenance of our bakers, and we have a young down there which maintains the bakers to bring up to standard. And I was in your dog's walk, and the way it is, you have bakers just a very big time, and of course they do, lifting things and stuff like that, these are very up to be straight down to the other. But surely, I would have thought, that we have the many bakers we have now, we have set up the two bakers. And a question the maintenance of the other vehicles is going to be a lot of all the time. But all I want to bring from my own information here is, you know, how many vehicles are we renting out here, plus the substitute vehicles that we have, because 225,500 is here money on vehicles is a lot of money to be spent. Thank you.
Those questions will take on the
I do welcome the paper, and I know from the intact of nearly more than council, I know as first chair of this committee, and from day one I'm a firm advocate that we need to have at least more and up to date green vehicles to do the job, but I know a lot of us will have complaints from our constituents about the rise taken down. And I do believe that the cornerstone of this policy, this council, we need to have a modern, up-to-date set of our vehicles and large structural purpose. You know, I know I do have concerns about the level of higher costs. I know some things can't be helped at the last minute, and I remember vehicles break down, and then we see higher vehicles coming in, and probably higher vehicles being charged at rates. And maybe the nature of the lives, the lives are on the road for days, maybe weeks, whatever, you know. And we'll do share a goal of it. We go up to have better value for the taxpayers. So, you know, whatever the kind, you know, eventually with this policy, it says, will we be at the ratchet level cost or whatever? And I'm expecting with vehicle maintenance, should we do a lot of our work in house? Or is it outsourced to other companies, you know, as the council in the hands of outside work companies or whatever, you know, coming, and the work can be done possible within in-house, maybe we should look at providing our own services, you know, and even, again, you know, the vehicles, no matter whether they're the Green Bank or Strength and Road, doing the replace on the case of merits, but, again, that's almost like, I've raised here on the recent flu, but I do know that we're duty bound to our repairs to get us best value for them. So that's just a few pointers that, you know, I just thought I wanted to raise. But overall, I do welcome the paper and appreciate very much of all the hard work that's gone into the public and the facts and things of before us.
Thank you, Chair. Frank?
I'm Chair, and I can understand you're looking at the commercial policy is unbelievable. The price probably of 4 euros. But, you do have to look at that. And I don't have an issue with this, because many years ago here on the old council, we decided 1 year we want to have a zero rate. And there was a number of lorries for repairs in that year, and it was the most expensive year we ever had. With breakdown, so we did learn a lesson from that. And I don't suppose, generally most people now leave cars for so many years, and I suppose they don't do that with lorries and such, but it would be a great scheme if such a scheme run anywhere, you know, where they go back after so many years, but definitely once they run over that 7 years, we learn that here that they're certainly very expensive to retain.
I thought I had some good questions there. I think we did one time look at the leasing options, but as far as I can remember back to the telephone engine, but they don't do this here. Maybe Johnny?
Yeah. So, sorry, Chair, I was going to remember it then. Then I'll be that way.
Sorry, Fran.
Terry pointed out that the last time, I remember it, I was sitting here the last council and going through different vehicles and officers having to back their way. Just to get it back to it first, I remind the lorries or whatever that goes. There's a lot of work put into this. I can't understand, only you coming in, but I can't understand how an increase in vehicles of 32% or 33% has happened from 2015 by the business case. And by not having that business case, has that had any negative impact on where we are today, or would it want to happen anyway? I mean, is that the norm, where you don't have a business space to put in, but yet your big come up very well there? So, are we just looking at, you know, your 42 routes with your 49 vehicles and all that? So, to me, it says that if you're 42 routes and you 49 vehicles, you're letting up to our vehicles, or is am I not allowed to operate? So, what happened? I know that the 7 days to get 3 weeks each vehicle a year or whatever it is to go into a garage, have a license for MOTs or PSD, whatever it may be, or need a new set of brake pads, whatever it may be, and we have a garage trying to bring back the sort of all that. So your vehicles are well maintained as it is. So, I mean, how come that's not adding up in the equation then when there's a breakdown? What is it? Sure, mean that that's costing the glass line money for the hiring vehicles, you know, but like surely in a hell of a business going forward, it would have been something that you have put down now where you're allowing for that. So, but I can't understand how from 2015 this has been allowed to increase. There, you wouldn't get that in any business, in no business. Maybe any business.
Thank you.
I'm really sure if I take that issue first of all, if that's okay. Council may remember that Valley Ward transferred to the new council as part of local government reform. That gave us additional territory but no resources. So the council had to identify additional capacity to service the routes there. But also council I think probably 2 years ago, if I recall correctly, agreed chair to the deployment of a brown bin service in rural areas. And as part of that, there was a decision to retain a number of older vehicles. So that is why you have seen the increase in the fleet. In terms, Chair, of the other issues, yes, we have capacity which has been identified. But the key issue is that because a large number of the fleet do not currently comply with the 7 years plus one renewal policy, in other words, they're older than 8 years old, they present increasing challenges in terms of what we consider as unplanned maintenance breakdowns. Okay, the older vehicle gets, the likely you're going to see that. I think some of our councillors alluded to that in their previous mandate in the old council. In terms of maintenance, Chair, yes, we have 2 garages, and we do everything in house with the exception of specialist work. Or warranty work where it makes sense to return it to the dealer to do that for you. So if that's considered outsourcing, you know, we send it out. It wouldn't be outsourcing in the future. Just in terms of the number of vehicles on rental now, I can confirm the committee that we have no refuse collection vehicles currently on rental. That was ended in February this year. The cost of the hire of an RCV is about £800 a week. So that tied in with the fact that we have invested in our fleet. Council has made considerable sums available to allow us to replace those older vehicles. And to date, the last 9 months we've replaced with 8 or 9 refuse collection vehicles, and we plan to replace more.
Okay.
I think I've covered everything, Chair. The legacy contract car, yes. There's a question about using the contract car. There's 2 issues that members need to be aware of. The residual values that the manufacturer duties are prohibited. So essentially you are paying more in the short and medium term, and that to date the business case hasn't stacked up. There's also a question mark as to whether the private sector capacity exists in Northern Ireland, but maybe that's something that needs to be tested in the near future, Chair. Sure.
I did discover in it that it is cheaper to run the fleet the way you are rather than grabbing the vehicles. They did state that. Have you looked at contract hire where someone else is responsible for the maintenance? Just like in terms of rent, there's contract hire usually in commercial vehicles. And again, that's, to me, that usually gives you, sometimes it looks out here, but you know from the day you purchase that, not like the person, but take like the contract, that you will know the cost of that vehicle. At the end of 12 months, you will know the cost. Should it be 1st year or 5 years? You'll know exactly where you're at. But, yeah. And thinking, would it be right to concerned that instead of having a 7-foot form, it'd be a 6-foot form. But that might be away with some of the maintenance of the road or river, because the lifespan, you're keeping them too long. And they should be turned over quicker to let them in the new. Just a thought.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just respond that in terms of contract out the maintenance, no, the council currently has two garages and we have never received the money yet. To look at that, I would suggest it's probably quite controversial in terms of industrial relations. Going back to what I was saying, we currently have two garages. There's probably opportunities for increased productivity there, yes. In terms of warranty work and specialist work, we do send that element of it out. But our core maintenance is done at our two garages in Green Bank and just trying to improve.
Thank you for that. And Michael, have all our questions and decisions to make and we'll discuss them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just to clarify the second one, Also, pretty delighted to place our vehicles more often, but I think the industry norm is 7 years plus. If we brought that forward, that would have a significant impact on the capital program. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to stretch it as long as we possibly can. So.
Okay.
Thank you, sure. I think you've kind of hit us with this pretty well ago. Where I'm seeing that there's a little bit of the R from the time they said, now there's no rentals, there's no rentals. I think I see the human right road, and I think we will go down the right road. So I propose the recommendations.
Thank you for that, Carol. Colonel Hollis Sackinger. Appreciate it. Okay, we're moving on then.
Thank you, Chair. Just very, very quickly, this is the quarterly provisional estimates in the area for January, March 2019. And just for members' information, it's showing that we are one of the highest performance authorities here and that we continue to send low amounts of our waste to landfill. So again, that assists us in terms of our recycling performance. The full year outturn for 2018-19 will be available in about December time, so we'll bring that back to committee once it's available. And then Chair, just from the loop, I'll probably take any comments or questions.
Okay. Okay.
Just for one thing to put on the back of the council, from day one we've been keen to improve on the recycling targets, so we have at least that report is a dedication of our staff and all the engineering, so hopefully the next term that we will probably one of the top places in all the recycling. But again, everybody involved from staff like these are probably services that we've never had the next question. And congratulations for having a pretty sad goal.
Appreciate that, Frank. Any other comments?
Sure. These are provisional, so I say maybe yes, we'll wait until the official stats come out.
Well, the official stats come out, that's the most of it. And put a good news story out there for Americans.
Okay, appreciate that, Karen. Thank you. Okay, moving on then to item 12. Here, high school waste recycling from the change program. That's just for the end of summer.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very, very quickly. It's just to advise members that PIRA has made a capital fund available to really assist council in improving recycling infrastructure and services over the next few years. There's $23 million available to council, so as officials we have worked up a number of draft expressions of interest and have already submitted those. If we get a favourable response, we then move the application stage, but we will bring reports back to the committee to appraise you of that. So sorry, that's just for a minute.
Okay, members are all happy with that then. Okay, move on then to item 13, AI Beautiful. Some improvements, okay, appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Again, there's no decision here, Chair, but on an annual basis, Keep NI Beautiful produces their Cleaner Neighbourhoods report, and that is that cleanliness index scores and so forth across all of the 11 councils. So just a couple of things I want to tease out with elected members. In terms of street cleansing, our cleanliness index or lean score, as it's known, has remained static of 72 when compared to the previous year. However, our expenditure on cleansing has increased and we're now the third highest in Northern Ireland. maybe some suggestions you could do a little bit of analysis to find out if that's going to change in terms of the lead score. And we'll see an improvement there, if not, why not? Another thing maybe to share with you, Chair, is related to sweeping obstructions. Surprised to see that based on the report, nearly 3 out of 10, so a third of every street sweeps we do, we encounter an obstruction. But obviously that impacts upon our ability to provide an effective service. So again, maybe suggest to me we might have to do some improvements around communicating and advising the public in advance of where we're doing this, because they do hear quite frequently of parked cars as an issue when the mechanical sweepers, for example, are sent into certain areas. And then the final issue, and this has been discussed before, is about our performance around the issue of fatality and nuisance enforcement. We are dropped compared to the previous year, and we are considerably less than the average for Northern Ireland. And what I would say, we have recognised that and we've built that into our enforcement improvement plan. Maybe just to add that the Northern Ireland scores are skewed by the performance of ours in North County. Where you can see in the big table they've issued substantially more effort family users than anybody else. They outsource that service to bring in outside agency to do that for them. So again, that's something that they have priority to the council to do. So that's just for the week. Again, happy to take any comments or questions.
Is there
not
some improvements can be done there, but just for anybody that has any questions.
This is something like having littering, double flooding being addressed, and the council took a decision to engage private sector capacity. Maybe worth noting that although they talked at the table in terms of issuing out first family notices, their actual ability to generate income from that, so enforcing it, is on par with ourselves. So they really haven't seen the bang for their buck at this point.
Is there really an attitude, again, this is maybe something that you speak on about, is it a bit like the people's attitude that is taking the car parking? You know, sometimes there's out the external agencies issue these fines and there's all sorts of advice about ignoring them. You know, you can't obviously do that with a proper, you know, an official penalty charge notice, but sometimes when you get these outside agencies, is there maybe that type of attitude developed within that area of business?
I haven't heard that, Chair, but that may be an issue. We can follow up on that if you want.
Well, thanks very much, Chair. First of all, I would be concerned about light sourcing for sometimes like this. I think light sourcing might be a good idea, but I think myself that it ends up costing more than what we're doing anyway. So, in relation to resources, I know the council's held at the apprentices, the teaching part of the apprentices program, and I know that at the ERT here last week asked questions like what steps will we as a council want to do to take part of the apprentices program, and maybe we should look at ourselves with examine the provision of apprenticeships, you know, with bringing young people in from school, giving them an apprenticeship, and maybe through time giving them a goal. Maybe working themselves into a job or whatever, but I think family apprenticeships would be an issue to look at in regarding to this here. And also, I also mentioned maybe the Youth Justice Programme, the Justice Agency, that maybe along with other statutory bodies, and bring on board people who are in Hyde Park and other places that maybe the who would be looking at a start night again, and they would be encouraged to take part in programmes. You know, I've seen it myself in Cross Guard 10 years ago, that there was local community groups, and actually there was people coming down from Hyde Park, and they had a great day, and they had part of parcel of being made of inclusive, and maybe a spark has been lit in some of those young people's minds that there's a purpose in life instead of ending up in an institution. So that's something that we can look at.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. I think the job is the scourge of any councillor's life, that's from the community's life. I'm sure that expanding those is as common as anything would be from that. I mean, as much as you would hate to get a parking ticket or anything, and you'd rather be out and eat the food or eat food with it than pay a penalty, but until that message goes out that we're a no-nonsense council, I mean, we might as well be just talking about ourselves and doing that for that. But, so, I mean, I'd be all on for the enforcement, because Joe Dog gets the message out that he got a fixed penalty or whatever price it is because his dog, he didn't pick up after his dog or whatever it may be, throwing something out of his car or whatever it may be. People don't come sitting up and listening and maybe think the next time. So we're doing everything as a council to provide dogs that are been to, I mean, we're provide a bag in our park to, you know, and people still walk past and think, so I mean, the enforcement, it's not nice to bring them in anywhere, but I mean, until people set up on this, and I think that's what it's like, the hard hitting campaign, advertising on TV for young drivers or old drivers and having an accident, drink driving, but they all come up to see that's not in the morning all on TV. So it was a hard hitting campaign, so maybe for a time like this, we did put in a hard hitting campaign for enforcement, particularly around the dog, because it really is at the scourge of it.
Yeah, Chair, I just disagree with the comments and the last councillor there. We have an enforcement improvement plan, which includes a range of initiatives to really crank up on enforcement activities, and we'll be bringing forward the committee some specific proposals attached to that in due course.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Move on then to item number 14. And some more good news,
appreciate
that, thank you.
Yes, Chair, just very quickly, delighted, pleased to say that the Council's Waste Management Department has been shortlisted by OPSI, which is a UK-wide local authority-based organisation, for their annual awards for Best Service Team of the Year for Waste Management and Recycling. And so this recognises the Council's performance in the last number of years, where we've increased our recycling rate by 12%, and we're now at the point we have exceeded our statutory targets. So going back to the comments earlier about good news, this certainly is a good news story. I know we are going to be represented at that awards ceremony by a councillor from this committee. So again, it's just to share that with the councillors and thank members for their support. Maybe just to add is that this legging officer from the department will also be attending, but we'll address that on the scheme of delegation and not be able to report back.
Yes, appreciate okay, we'll move on then. The next couple of items are for an open, items 15 and items 16. So I'm going to pick some items 17. We'll pick our proposal and sign versus for items 15 and 16. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. And then, John, do you have any comments on items?
Yeah, Chair, this is just official correspondence from the NIEA, just about our draft reconciliation figure for NILIS for the 2018-19 year. So we've used only about 8% of the total amount, so it's just for moving.
Okay, appreciate that. Okay, moving on then. Get into this official business. So items 18, 19, 20, and 21, 22 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of Part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act in Northern Ireland 2015. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information in public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. So, could I have a proposer please to go into closed session?
So proposed.
Thank you, Chair. Second, or third? So, three, yes? Okay. Item 18, and committee items from our committee 1 joint committee minutes 30th May 2019. The proposal of Councillor Harold McKee, seconded by Councillor Liz Cameron, is agreed to note the end committee items from the our committee 1 committee minutes of 30th May 2019. Item 19, appointment of design team for sanitary extension projects at Monk's Hill and Kilbrony Cemeteries on the proposal of Councillor Karen McCallum, seconded by Councillor Harold McKee, to agree to note the content of the report dated 20th August 2019 and associated business case and be approved. The conclusion of the business case of option 3 is the third option taken forward, phase 3 of Monk's Hill Municipal Centre and phase 2 of Kilbrony Municipal Centre. Option 3 will see the appointment through a tender process of a competent design team who will provide technical support required to assist the council in taking forward the project. The maintenance of town clocks and the proposal of Councillor Terry Hardick, seconded by Councillor Carol McKellar, has agreed to note the content of the report dated 20th of August 2019 and they agreed to the appointment a suitable qualified contractor to undertake a condition report and the six clocks referred to in the report to establish the current condition of the clocks, how they operate, and the likely future maintenance requirements. It's also agreed to approve continuation of financial support to maintain the two clocks referred to above, which are not in council ownership. Item 21, maintenance works to Kilfagan Lane, Killone. On the proposal of Councillor Harold McKay, seconded by Councillor Karen McCallum, agreed to note the content of the report dated 20th of August 2019 and with agreement with landowners along the upper section of this Kilfagan Lane way, 0.3 miles to council to undertake maintenance of this surface to bring it into reasonable condition for vehicular and pedestrian access. It's also agreed the council consider its continued need or otherwise to retain the Kilfagan picnic area and if deemed required then the council seeks to agree with landowners along the lane and how best the lane could be maintained to allow safe access and egress along the lane to the amenity area. Further agreed, council officers investigate sources of funding which may be available for future maintenance of the lane. Determine with colleagues an AHC usage and future need for this vehicular report back to this facility to committee. Is that okay? And then item 22, tender for the state storage software and haulage of mixed dry recyclables waste material. On the proposal of Councillor McCallum, seconded by Councillor Terry Harden, it was agreed note the contents of the report dated 20th August 2019 and agreed the recommendation of R21 to award a contract to the company named and a report for the delivery of a service for a street storage software and owners of the council's mixed tricyclables dated on a contract date specified in the report 2.2 excluding that, subject to pre award conditions being met. So thank you for your patience.
Chair, just as I was coming in, there was a couple of minutes here. Did you think it was something to do with a different department or moving to, did I think that up?
Yeah,
Charlie, yeah, sure, it's good to argue. I'm going back to the dark side. I'm going back to STNR, the Chief Executive's Office, so my time on Joe's away has come to an end, so that finishes at the end of this month.
Right, so I might take care of Joe in that role of looking at where that is in this, I think, made some great decisions, so this council all we have heard here about where you are in a new post.
Thank you for your comments.
First of all, Chair, I'd like to concur on Councillor Hardy's sentiments. Johnny, only for the 10-minute pitch, I'm always excited to be a gentleman and quite helpful in knowing not this problem, but I'd say I've enjoyed working with you in your time with us and regularly in technical terms, AKA neighbourhood services, and I'd say I enjoyed working with you and our love is going to be there again. But again, to Joe Parks, Joe, welcome back. It's good to see you back with him again. And again, I look forward to working with you. And I'll comment again. Thanks to all our staff and to Catherine with the new event, because each of you in your way play a very important part and other services. So thanks very much, everyone.
I'm only getting used to it. I'm now you're leaving, but wish you all the best and I'll come back
Thank you very much. Thank you, Brian. What's your hope? Appreciate it.